Welcome to I Am Adamant podcast. We are hoping to navigate truth in this universe of opinions. And I'm so excited to have Pastor Craig Groeschel join me today. He has called in and we're going to just talk about some things that he is adamant about. But first, I kind of want to give people a window into who you are if they don't already know who you are, because I think most of them do. Pastor Craig is the co-founder and the senior pastor of Life Church, and it's an innovative, pace-setting church. They meet in multiple campuses all around the United States and globally online. You have a missional approach to technology. You have created YouVersion Bible app. I just want to say thank you for that. That's been an incredible godsend for me. And you speak frequently at conferences worldwide and you host the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast, which has been an incredible blessing to our entire team. So Craig, thank you so much for that. You and Amy have really set the bar high for a lot of people, and just you love each other so well. And I love how you love your family. And I'm just so thrilled you'd be on the podcast today.
Hey, Lisa, thank you so much. We love your family. Amy and I just love you and John so much and what you all stand for. And we love cheering you on as you're traveling around the world. We get to stay at home most of the time. You have to go on a plane to work a lot. And so we celebrate what you're doing, and I'm honored to be on your podcast today.
I totally appreciate it. So I kind of already leaned in a little bit on this, but Pastor Craig, what are you adamant about?
Well, I think if you push me into a corner and made me choose one or two things, I think at the top of my list is I'm crazy passionate about sharing the gospel, about evangelism, and the because is I actually grew up going to church but was not a follower of Christ. And so I just don't want to assume that anytime anyone is anywhere near a church or not, that they know about the grace of God. So that would be one. And then I am crazy passionate, and even get some criticism for how much I talk about this, but about leadership. And I see the world through a lens of leadership. And when I look at Jesus, I first see the Son of God who came to show us life and to die for the forgiveness of our sins. And then I look and I see the greatest leader who ever lived, who, you know, had nothing but a relationship with God and assembled a few people and cast vision and empowered and trained them and gave them an assignment and handed over this calling to them. And here we are on a podcast 2,000 years later because of how the Spirit of God worked through Jesus in his leadership and vision to impact the world with spiritual life.
You know, I love that. And before we go on to that, could you explain to me, like you said, that you went to church but did not know Christ. How did that change your approach to how you pastor and how you present the gospel in your church?
It completely changed the way I present the gospel. But one of the biggest things, Lisa, is I just always assumed that if you were in church, you were a Christian because we believed in God, my whole family did, but none of us knew him at all. There was no relationship and just no real understanding. I knew about Jesus and the cross, but I didn't understand what that meant for me. I didn't understand my sin nature. And so now, when I preach, that's at the front of my mind, and I work hard. I'm not always great at it, but I try to assume that there's lots and lots of people who don't have a clue about the Bible, about the gospel, about sin nature. And in fact, in culture today, because of the way, even the idea of saying that people are sinful, that goes against a popular opinion in culture. So I want to start with an assumption that people don't know much at all, maybe not anything about spirituality, about who Jesus really is. They may see him as a historical figure, but not see him as the Son of God. And try to be basic in explanation. At the same time, it's challenging, as you know, to talk to a group of people that may be very, very far from God, and yet at the same time challenge those who are believers to be even more passionate about the faith.
You know, you mentioned something that even mentioning that somebody might have a sin nature, now people push back on that. Is this an area where you're seeing truth is actually becoming very fluid?
Well, I think, you know, I think truth is truth. But a lot of people would argue the opposite. They would say that truth is relative, that it's what's was true 50 years ago might not be true today. And I think that's a dangerous presupposition. And so, you know, I believe truth isn't just an idea, but ultimately, as a follower of Christ, truth is a person. You know,
absolutely.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so We're not even starting a lot of times at kind of ground zero with people. We're starting at negative 10 and have to, you know, walk them maybe 10 steps before they're even in a neutral place. And can, like the sin nature thing, for years, it was pretty easy to say, yeah, we've done wrong. We're not always good people. And now you can't start there because a lot of people push back and say, I'm not a bad person. You know, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. And so we just can't take it for granted that people understand sin nature. And if we don't recognize we're sinners, then we will never see that we actually need a savior. And so that's why we often have to start there.
Well, and the danger with relativism is that it's kind of like what's true for you isn't true for me, and what's wrong for you isn't wrong for me. There's no absolutes. And so it's causing a lot of confusion.
Yeah, then it's whatever makes me happy is true. And that's really dangerous if you chase that rabbit very far, because then suddenly you could be doing really bad things that hurt a lot of people in the name of happiness.
Right. You know, I just actually came back from Carnival in Rio, and we felt like that's what we were seeing on the streets. It was like the den of debauchery. And we're like, wow, that was a little scary. A lot of people are thinking this is why I'm here, was for happiness at anybody else's expenses. And yet it was interesting. You didn't actually see any joy in their faces. So going back to the leadership thing, you actually posted something, I think it was about a year ago, where you said, if the leader sees there's a problem and doesn't confront it, then the leader becomes the problem. And I think I direct messaged you because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm the problem. I see this.
I only know that from firsthand experience, because that's the story of my leadership so often.
Well, I so appreciate that you've opened up your leadership strengths and your leadership challenges and shared stories that have made us all feel like we could connect with where you are right now, because we can connect with what you've gone through. And that meant a lot. I've also had this incredible opportunity to listen to what happens when your video plays at Propel. And, you know, right now there are so many women who love God with all their heart. They fear the Lord. They want to honor the scriptures with their life and with everything within them. They want to be obedient to their Father God, but they feel this tension because they also feel called. They feel called into the ministry, and yet people they love and respect are maybe saying, no, you can't do that because you're a woman. And could you just share how you have actually, as a leader, processed that? Because I know you honor the scriptures and you and Amy live by the word of God. And could you just speak, you know, kind of some leadership insights to women who want to serve God with their lives?
Well, let's start with the basics, that God created women. God loves them massively. God gave them gifts and passions and talents, and then they weren't put here to sit on the sidelines spiritually. Men and women, we're created by God to glorify God. And so from a pastoral standpoint, I feel very passionate and called to be the voice to empower women to do more in the church, because I think for far too often there have been voices that have been telling them that they're less than. I think that a room full of men is generally incomplete, because we don't see things the way the way women see them. We don't have gifts. My wife has. I mean, women have weird abilities to intuit things and sense and create, and that's a reflection of the heart of God. So to have any organization that is missing that reflection of the heart of God embodied in half of his creation, I think is a waste. It's foolish. It's unwise. And I would make the argument it's unbiblical. You look at all of the New Testament, and God was using women as leaders. Women were teaching. Women were empowering. Women were discovering Jesus was raised from the dead, you know, before anybody else. And women were being forgiven and set free, just like men were. And so I'm honored as a dad with four daughters. I've got two sons and four daughters. I'm honored to use whatever influence I have to create platforms for them to serve Jesus. I would not be who I am without my wife. Our church wouldn't be who we are without my wife. Our organization wouldn't have some of the strengths that it has without her wisdom, her input. If I can just be real honest on the top level of our leaders, meaning we have, just to tell you a little bit, we'll be in 29 locations probably by the time this airs, and we have leaders well above that. Probably 60, maybe 65% of our top leaders are female, not because they're female, but because they were the best people for the job. They just they earned it, they bought it, they won it. And then we're also excited right now of our different churches. We had probably 2 years ago put in our first female campus pastor, which was a pretty big deal because most of our campuses are kind of in the South, and that was a little bit of an aggressive move for some people theologically. And then we just put our second female campus pastor in a role about probably 2 or 3 months ago. And they're special leaders. They're under my leadership with my blessing, my authority, and they're leading their local churches with passion and integrity. And I'm so proud of them.
Wow. Well, I mean, we all have to be leaders under authority, or we don't really even have authority as leaders. And now, do you get a lot of conversation with other pastors who want to make these changes, but don't know how to do it, whether it's their denomination or it's just not what's been done in the past?
I do. There are some that feel like they just can't because of kind of their theological background or heritage. There are others, and just to be real frank, that you kind of get one first try, and if it doesn't go well, it makes it harder for the second person, and so they're real afraid of not getting it right the first time. And by that, let's say you believe that women are called in the local church and you want to put someone in the role. If you put the wrong woman in the role, it does not go well. In other words, what I don't want a woman who says, I am a woman and I am a follower of Jesus and pastor. What I want is someone who says, I'm a follower of Jesus and a pastor who just happens to be female. If there's an agenda to push something else, then it's not going to go well in my organization. To give you an example, I don't interview our campus pastors. We have people who do this all the time. When we were looking at our first female campus pastor, they knew it was important to my heart. They said, Craig, would you like to be a part of the interview? I said, yeah, I think I should be because it's the first female. And then I said, no, actually, I don't. She's going up against another guy. Treat it like we do everything else. If she's the best candidate, hire her. If she's not the best candidate, hire the other candidate. And so I defy, because I care about it so much, I didn't want my biases to interfere. I'm going to run the system just like we always do. May God put the best candidate in the job. If it's a male, great. If it's female, great. That doesn't matter to me as long as we're honoring God by putting the best people in the best spots we can.
So let me ask you a question, because I love what you said about she needs to feel called to be a pastor and a minister first and just female second. But it is, like I remember my husband, and I think you and Amy have a similar dynamic to John and I. John actually pushed me and was like, Lisa, I need you to be a voice to youth girls. There's situations and things that need to be said that are going to be better coming from you. And I would say to him, John, if I get up there and I say something wrong, I'm going to actually be labeled a Jezebel. It's a stricter standard on me. I said, if you get up and say something wrong, maybe you just had a bad day. Maybe it wasn't your best sermon. But I said, I don't want to disqualify not only myself, but the women behind me. When you are talking about pioneering something, that's a lot of pressure. And again, I was trying to disqualify myself as a female. And my husband was like, I'm sorry, you see things I miss and I need you. So what have you done to develop your female leaders where they're not afraid? They're not afraid to step into that.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think we're all afraid, male or female. And I think you're right. There's going to be more pressure because in many places it is new, it is different. And there's often a different level of scrutiny. So I'm not going to say it's the same, but I will say anyone stepping into a leadership role, it's scary. I think my answer is not just what do I do for the women, but what do I do for all the leaders is I want them to know I've got their back, period. And so my two female campus pastors, they know, at the last time we put someone, we had some kickback from some people saying this, that, or the other. Kind of complaining about the decision just because of their gender. And I just didn't budge. I don't care who's pushing back. I don't care what kind of influence they have. They know that I've got their back. And more than that, too, they know I believe in them. I believe that The Spirit of God dwells within them. I believe they're capable. I believe there's more in them than they yet know. And so I just, you know, I'm confident. I'm confident in their calling. And I hope that brings them some sense of assurance. I think that we're all still nervous. We all feel like we don't measure up. But I'm trying to instill life and confidence in them. And then I will take their back if someone else is attacking.
So to a pastor who is thinking, I want to involve women, you would say, hey, make sure that they have a call in their life. Make sure that their heart is right and they're not pushing an agenda. And then support them like you would a guy that you put into that position, understanding that they would make mistakes, they would need opportunity for growth, but not second guess your question your decision because they're a female.
Yeah. And, you know, push yourself to put them in, you know, if at your church, you've never had a female give announcements, my gosh, you know, you can't make any theological argument that a woman can't give announcements. Put someone up there and let every 13-year-old girl look up there and say, wow, I could be used by God to do that. And so I would just say, push yourself to create opportunities for half of the people in your church, the females, to do roles that maybe they couldn't do before. You know, all it takes is, you know, I hope every man in leadership could be around, at least have a daughter or have some younger or in any age women that they love. They're so passionate about Jesus and say, how can I leverage what I have to help give them a place to do more? That's what we're all called to do. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came and, you know, picked some people and who were not perfect, and it trained them, equipped them. They failed. He gave them another chance. He gave them big assignments, gave them grace. And that's what I want to do. I want to go pick as many people as I can, open up doors, opportunities, give ministry away, and let God use people to do way more than they ever thought possible. If I'm going to be wrong, if I'm going to stand before God one day and be wrong, and on the side of this of women in ministry, I choose to be wrong on the side of empowering and believing in women, rather than on the side of limiting what God could do through them.
Pastor Craig, what happens if the church, or when the church, doesn't empower its daughters? What kind of fallout do we see?
Well, I think we're, you know, in whatever way a church can, and I know that there's limitations based on theology or history or whatever, but if, I mean, I don't even know where to start. We miss out on who we can reach. We miss out on wisdom. We miss out on perspective. We miss out on a different way of experiencing God's word. We miss out on a different level of community. We miss out on opportunities to empower people. I think it would be similar to saying, you know, everybody under the age of 40 can't do something in the church. We miss out on all the blessings of youth, or saying everybody over 40 can't do something in church. We miss out on the wisdom of a generation that's gone before us. It's like we're limiting half of the body of Christ if we don't enable them to use what God's put inside of them.
You know, I see a lot of angry women raising voices in their streets and a lot of distrust with leadership. Do you think some of this is the backlash of women not being able to find a valid place in the church for their voice?
I don't think I'm equipped to answer that because my perspective is so limited. I just can't put myself in
sure.
Those shoes. But what I can say is, and I'll try to make this clear and not be harsh, I'm not an advocate for women. I'm an advocate for the right women and godly women. If there's a rebellious attitude, if there's lack of being under authority, if there's you know, the wrong kind of teaching or whatever, it doesn't matter if you're male or female. That's all out of order. And so, you know, I'm not on a crusade to say we need more women in ministry or we need more men in ministry. What I'm on a crusade to say is God created us, gave us gifts, and we need to empower the right people to use those gifts to make a difference. So
I love that.
I can't comment as to why there might be rebellion or, you know, whatever, because I haven't been there. But I won't tolerate that for a moment.
No, I love what you said. John always says it's always about putting the right people in the place, and that women should have a voice in the church, but you don't just throw women into the church who have not had training or faithfulness or, you know, have that position to be under authority, having authority. So I love your answer to that. And I think that gives a lot of clarity. Pastor Craig, what is your next thing that you're working on? Like, what is your thing you're dreaming about right now, you and Amy?
There's a lot of different levels of that. In the church, we're in a really unique season of kind of blessing and harvest. We put a lot of seed in the ground and we're seeing a lot come out. So this year, it was pretty special, as we're going to be able to start 5 new churches, which is the most we've ever started.
Wow.
What's so special about it is, I mean, everything's lining up. We've got the leaders, we've got the core groups, we've got the financial resources, we've got the land, the buildings are going up. And so I feel like I'm 50 years old now and loving it. I've spent, you know, 22 years leading this church, and I feel like we've plowed the ground, put in a lot of seed, watered, worked it, and now we're kind of seeing the harvest. So that's the church front. On the YouVersion Bible app, as you mentioned, that's something our church created. We're pretty blessed, Lisa. I was saved by reading a little green New Testament Bible given to me by the Gideons. And so now, imagine a guy who's saved by a free Bible gets to give the Bible away.
I love that.
We've been blessed to give that away. It's on 310 million different devices as of today. We're praying for a billion one
day.
We have a feature coming out on that thing. I probably can't tell you yet that when it hits, it's going to be so viral in spiritual impact. And I know people are going to say there's some pastor guy overselling or whatever. When you see it, it's going to be it is so cool. It's hard to even describe. But I believe it's going to expose the Bible to people in. I think it's one of the greatest innovative tools with the Bible I've ever seen. That'll come out probably around May or June, so I'm really excited about that. On the family front, we're raising grandkids. We got our first grandkid right now, and so it's a fun season.
Grandkids are the best.
Yeah, we got ours is little. He's about to walk, and it's just I can see the next season is going to be so much fun.
It is. Having the grandkids with your kids still young enough to kind of be connected with them has been so much fun for John and I. It kind of re-anchored the older boys. And so we've got an 18-month, 3-year-old, 6-year-old, and 8-year-old. And I see you holding your grandson by his feet, like straight up. And I just remember doing that with our kids. And it's just so much fun. And you and Amy, just I'm so happy for you in this season. And you know what I would love to see you do? I would love it if you could just pray for our audience, pastors that are maybe in this season of saying, wow, you know, I really feel like I do have some women in my congregation that I want to give voice and value to, but I need to know how to do it. And, or maybe they're afraid. Like you're saying, most leaders are afraid. I was afraid to step into things. Would you just be willing to pray for them as a leader who has been able to do that?
I'd love to. Yeah, Father, thank you so much for every person that's listening right now and just the calling that you have on each individual lives. I pray, God, for maybe those who are pastors or, you know, anyone in any type of position of leadership, that you would give us a heart just to engage your whole family in ministry, in the church, and as the church to this world. I pray, Father, for any who might be feel a burden or a calling to help give a platform to some female leaders and pastors, God. I pray you give them the courage to take a step of faith, maybe even the ability to take some criticism for this and recognize that this small sacrifice could actually be worth it in impacting so many people. I pray, God, that we would give just the young women, the young girls in our church, examples of people they can look up to, and other women and men that are godly with great character and passion for Jesus. And I pray that every person growing up in our churches could look at the generation ahead and potentially see themselves doing something even more. I pray, God, just for Lisa and John and for your incredible blessings on their ministry, their marriage, their family, their kids, for Lisa's new book. God, thank you for the passion, wisdom that you put in her heart, and for the effort it took to put it down on paper. We know it will impact so many lives. So in all these things, Jesus, we just submit to you, asking you to give us wisdom to use every tool you've given us to lift up your name
to glorify you in your church and as your church in this world, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much. Listen, you can connect with Pastor Craig through YouVersion, how you heard about that, and then through Facebook at Craig Rochelle, Instagram, and Twitter. You can see his beautiful family at Craig Rochelle and also Amy Rochelle. And for resources, you can check out CraigRochelleBooks.com. And he has an amazing leadership podcast. I love it because it is short and concise. Craig always goes straight to the point and focuses in, you know, exactly what he's going to talk about. I listen to him when I'm getting ready for dinner or when I'm driving to the office. It's awesome. Our boys will listen to it. They all love him. We are all smarter because of you, Pastor Craig. And
thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Listen, and if you want to learn more about Adamant, finding the truth in the universe of opinion, you can go check out iamadamant.com. And thank you so much for listening. And Pastor Craig, thank you for joining us today. I believe that women are going to be encouraged and pastors are going to be challenged because of you being adamant about making sure people have a clear presentation of Jesus Christ on every level. And that's leadership and empowering women. So thank you for that, Pastor Craig.
Hey, thank you, Lisa. Thanks so much for what you do. And it's an honor to be on with you today.
All right. God bless.
Hey, I want you to subscribe because when you subscribe, we can get everything to you right away. We'd also love to see you rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends. To learn more about the book, Adamant, Finding Truth in a Universe of Opinions, check it out at iamadamant.com.